do not necessarily represent those of this station.
Divided into three parts. During the first part, each speaker will present a 5-minute argument either for or against the construction of Rampart Dam. As is usual in the debate, the affirmative, that is, those who desire a change in the status quo, begin and end the debate. On our panel tonight, we have Mr. Ed Murdy, Secretary of Yukon Power for America, who will speak in favor of Rampart Dam, Mr. Thomas Pascavan, Vice President of Yukon Power for America, who will also favor the construction of the dam, Ms. Celia Hunter, Secretary of the Alaska Conservation Society, who will oppose construction of the dam, as will Terry Brady, who is Vice President of the Alaska Conservation Society. The second part of the debate will consist of questions that have been submitted by the public. We will conclude tonight's debate with a 3-minute summary by each speaker. We begin with Tom Pascavan, who will favor Rampart Dam. Tom?
It is my firm belief, after many months of study, that the Rampart Dam should be built. We must think of preserving the human species first before we consider the duck or the fish species. Let me tell you of some of the people that have convinced me that we are on the right track to aid Alaska and her people. Barney Godstein owns Foodland Grocery Store in Fairbanks and has told our YPA committee that his electric light bill costs more than $50,000 per year. Imagine $1,000 per week for an electric light bill. This bill is, of course, at our present rates of 6 to 7 cents per kilowatt. With the advent of the Rampart Dam and its cheap power, we can be assured of 1 cent per kilowatt power in Fairbanks, which means that Foodland will save an estimated $40,000 per year. It follows that Foodland can reduce its cost of groceries to you and I and still make the same net profit. Our competitive system of business will force the reduction in grocery prices, as the same electrical savings will be shared by other grocery stores. An Alaskan who lived in the area of Fort Yukon for many years tells us a particular island in the Yukon River for many years was used as a nesting ground for ducks. As it happened, one spring, the meanders of the powerful Yukon took this island completely out. He believes that the ducks that used this huge island didn't go away brokenhearted, exclaiming to each other that they cannot lay any eggs because their favorite nesting ground had been washed away. He observed these same ducks in other areas laying their eggs in much the same way. I have a feeling that these conservationists are underestimating the intelligence of the duck. Charles Mayo, born and raised in Rampart Village and is now about 52 years old, tells me, with the high cost of shells and the ever-lowering price of furs, a reasonable living off that land cannot be made. Here we have a lifelong professional hunter, trapper, and fisherman who cannot sustain a livelihood for his family of six and is now living in Fairbanks and working as a carpenter at Eielson Air Force Base. If you and I were to listen to our conservation friends, they would give you the impression that the Yukon Flats is the Garden of Eden. I think differently. Salmon to Alaska has always been a great resource, but does the building of the Rampart Dam really conflict with this resource? Let me quote from the March 11th Seattle PI. Salmon boost seen despite big dams, Washington, D.C. government fisheries experts predict that salmon runs in the Pacific Northwest may be increased despite the harnessing of rivers by huge dams. The prediction was made in testimony released today by the House Appropriations Committee. Donald McKernan, director of the U.S. Bureau of Commercial Fisheries, told the committee there was a great potential for much larger fish runs in the future. We are just unlocking the door of some of the secrets we need to build the resources for even greater economic benefits and recreational enjoyment in the years to come. The forecast contrasted sharply with oft-repeated warnings that the Pacific Northwest may have to choose between fish and dams. In Volume 1, page 209 of the Department of Interior report, analysis and comparison of records would indicate the Yukon River historically contributed but a trace of the total commercial pack from Alaska. America is growing fast, at the rate of 1 million new Americans every 140 days, over 3 million new Americans every year. By the year 2000, and only 35 years from now, and not a very long time when you consider the length of time it takes to build dams the size of the Rampart Dam, America will be over the 300 million mark, each demanding and consuming electricity at an ever-increasing rate. In 1960, America consumed 44 times 10 to the 15th power BTUs in electric power, and in the year 2000, the figure rises to 296 times 10 to the 15th power BTUs, following the strong trend that the consumption of electricity in America has more than doubled every decade since the first electric light was plugged in 83 years ago. The demand for electric power is surely there.
Thank you, Mr. Koskinen. The first speaker for the Alaska Conservation Society is Celia Hunter. Celia?
The controversy over construction of Rampart Dam is being clouded and confused by the use of fiction instead of fact on the part of those promoting Rampart. The public is entitled to know the truth so that a valid judgment may be reached in this crucial economic decision. First, let's dispose of the three mill power myth. This myth has been repeated so often that those using it forget that it isn't true. The three mill power myth was born with the old DNR report. The use of the figure of 3 mills per kilowatt hour was merely a stated assumption. The DNR report was under no obligation to prove that power could be produced for this figure. The 3 mill myth has been disproved in the recently released Rampart Field Studies prepared by the Bureau of Reclamation, the government agency which will actually have the job of selling Rampart power. The Rampart Field Studies show a range of costs from slightly more than 5 mils to 10.81 mils per kilowatt hour. I repeat, the lowest cost given with the most favorable marketing hypothesis is over 5 mils. Why is the 3 mil power myth so important to Rampart promotion? Because Rampart supporters have asserted over and over again that an advantage of 1 mil per kilowatt hour over competing power sources will influence industries to locate in Alaska. The 3 mil myth is stressed because Alaska has none of the other factors which influence industrial development and plant location. No cheap labor, no cheap transportation, a very high cost of living, very few raw materials, and markets thousands of miles away. The 3 mil power myth is a key argument in projecting a large aluminum industry in Alaska to use Rampart power. After all, didn't the aluminum industries flock to the Pacific Northwest when Grand Coulee's cheap power became available? Unfortunately, for those who support this belief, the aluminum industry, through John D. Harper, president of Alcoa, one of the largest aluminum producers, has announced publicly that the aluminum industry has eliminated its dependence on hydroelectric power, particularly in remote sites. The aluminum industry has turned to thermal-generated electricity because other cost factors have become more important than power. Aluminum plants are moving out of the Pacific Northwest to the Ohio Valley and Texas to use coal-fired generators. Mighty Kitimat, a hydroelectric development only 500 miles north of Seattle, situated at Tidewater in British Columbia, is today operating at much less than capacity, unable to compete with aluminum produced in eastern United States. How much will it cost to build Rampart Dam? Here we have another myth. The myth of $1.3 billion for construction costs. This figure is still widely used by Rampart Dam supporters, even though the Rampart field study show costs ranging from between $2.3 billion and $2.8 billion for the dam, after costs of transmission lines and mitigation wildlife losses are figured in. Power costs are closely related to the overall cost of hydro projects, and final costs generally run at least three times the original estimates of cost. Look at these figures. Grand Coulee, when initial estimate, $119 million. Final cost, $404 million. Hoover Dam, initial, $120 million. Final cost, $385 million. Projecting Rampart costs on two figures, the outdated $1.3 billion of the DNR report and $2.8 billion from the Bureau of Reclamation figures, we get final costs ranging between $3.9 billion and $8.4 billion. If we in Alaska really intend to pay back the cost of building Rampart Dam, then the prices we must charge for that power may be very high. But there are other objections to Rampart besides its enormous cost. The next myth I'd like to explode tonight is the myth that nuclear power can never be competitive with hydroelectric power costs. Nuclear power went through a technological revolution in 1964, though news of this breakthrough has been slow in reaching Alaska. Nuclear power today is assured at less than 4 mils per kilowatt hour. In New Jersey at Oyster Creek, the Jersey Central Power and Light Company will complete a nuclear plant in 1967 with power scheduled to sell at 3.79 mils per kilowatt hour. Compare this with possible Rampart costs of 10.81 mils. When large industries look for economical sources of power to help determine plant location, nuclear power can outbid Rampart on cost alone. In addition, nuclear power has the advantage of both mobility and flexibility. Nuclear plants produce the power where it is needed and in quantities tailored to the demand. Is this bad news for Alaska? I don't think so. It is bad news only to those who are so deeply committed to Rampart Dam construction that they must deny all technological progress. For the rest of us, the prospect of really cheap power in small or medium-sized units, mobile enough to rid us location where needed, and cheap enough to be within the means of our state utility systems can revolutionize the economy of Alaska. We don't need Rampart Dam in order to have cheap power. This is the final myth, and the sooner we rid our thinking of all of these myths, the better off we and Alaska will be.
Thank you, Celia. For Yukon Power for America, we now have Ed Murdoch. Ed?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, listening to Ms. Hunter's remarks, really was a revelation. She represents the Conservation Society, but I didn't hear a single word about conservation. She puts herself out to be an expert on the cost of building the dam, which of course the Corps of Engineers has done for years and years, and I should think that you and I, as members of the general public, would be more convinced by what the Corps of Engineers would say the dam would cost rather than Ms. Hunter, and they say about $1.3 billion. Furthermore, I should think regarding the marketability of this power and its cost, that we should put more emphasis and believe what Development and Resources Corporation of New York, incidentally that corporation, has made dam studies all over the world. Its president is Dave Lilienthal, incidentally the former chairman of the Atomic Energy Commission, and Gordon Clapp, the member and manager of the Tennessee Valley Authority. I merely ask you, ladies and gentlemen, who are you going to believe? The Development and Resources Corporation with that background, or member of the Conservation Society as to the marketability of Rampart Power? I'll let you draw your own conclusions. Now, looking at the problem positively, there seems to me to be three aspects to it. Need, marketability, and the human, spiritual, and wildlife considerations. I'll cover these points briefly within the short time allocated to me. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, is there a need for Rampart in Alaska? We have the highest cost of living on the face of the earth. We have seasonal employment. And it doesn't look like in the foreseeable future that there's going to be any solution to these problems, absent low-cost electricity. I say this, that instead of opposing Rampart Dam, I wish the conservationists would come up with a positive proposal to solve these problems, rather than trying as an amateur to oppose the expert analysis on cost and power supply. Getting to marketability of the power. The Resources and Development Corporation didn't make a study, and incidentally, the Reclamation Bureau and the Interior Department report made a study also. And both of them concluded that all of the sources of power are impractical, and Rampart's source of supply may be the cheapest in the world. Now, the opponent opposes that. Well, I only refer you to the statistics and the experts and ask you to draw your own conclusions. Who are you going to believe on that particular point? I may say this. They have analyzed the distribution of this power, and they figured that 70% of this power will be used for Alaskan use, will be used for increased industry, will be used for increased domestic use. Now, TVA is a good example of this. In Tennessee Valley Authority, which incidentally was 30 years ago, you may recall, and who at that time would ever predicted what had happened? They were called idle dreamers. How do we know what's going to happen 30 years from now? In the Tennessee Valley Authority, their experiences showed that at least 45% of the people were below standard in their income compared to the nation. After TVA went in, they were 65% above the national average on income in the Tennessee Valley area. Now, on the marketability of this power, it's marketed at 2 to 4 mils at the bus bar and probably 1 cent. Now, in Fairbanks, we happen to pay a $48 a month electric bill on the average. We figure that if Rampart goes in and we have the same price as Seattle, which pays 1 cent, that our bill will of course be proportionately less, mainly about $8 a month instead of 48. And I say that that would create an incentive to stay in this area. Incidentally, the other day, I talked to some young people going to high school, and they say they have no intention of staying in Alaska, that they see no future here, that it's nothing but seasonal employment, and there's a lot of other adverse factors. I think that we as responsible adults in this community and in the state should offer an incentive to young people to stay in this state. And actually, nobody has come up with any proposal other than low-cost power and the industry that this would create. Ivan Block and Associates in Seattle, who are industrial consultants, predicted this, ladies and gentlemen, that there would be, after Rampart is fully productive, now listen to this, 60 to 80,000 full year-round jobs. Now I asked my opponents or anybody to come up with a proposal that would meet that or even come near it. Now, we've got to make a decision. Do we want Alaska for our future, for our children? Do we want industry, or do we want to have to enjoy the wild expanses of wildlife? If you want wildlife and you don't want development, you should be opposed to Rampart Dam. If you want a high cost of living, if you want seasonal employment, you should be opposed to Rampart Dam. The converse is true. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that this, it's hardly arguable if you accept two premises. If you're for the industrial development of Alaska, the industrial consultants have proven and have established that no industry will come in this state with high cost power. And I may say this, that Fish and Wildlife Service report, Nick Hunter's figures of 5 to 10 mil power is predicated upon a $580 million item for fish and wildlife restoration and mitigation of damages. Imagine Grand Coulee itself only costs a little over $4 million, and they want $580 million to eliminate the mitigation of damages, so to speak. If you cut that $580 million out, your cost of power goes to the 2 to 4 mil range. What's more important? Our families, our future, or our fishing game? I only say this, ladies and gentlemen, that in conclusion, we ought to work together. I'm convinced of the good faith of the fish and wildlife people. I'm convinced, as you are, of their intentions to preserve Alaska for our future generations. I can say this, that we're not going to accomplish anything by fighting. In Sweden and the Scandinavian countries, the power people and the conservationists have gotten together and they worked out a program that's practical and that has developed both of those countries, particularly Norway and Sweden, to such an extent that they probably have the highest standard of living in the world, believe it or not, probably higher in many parts of the United States, because the power people and the conservationists worked together and resolved the problem. I can say this, ladies and gentlemen, that by 1990, we're going to have 100 million more people in this country. And that's an awful lot of people. And we're going to need proportionally more power. We're going to need more jobs. I don't think we're going to need more wild animals. I don't think we're going to need more fish. I think we're going to need more jobs for our people and for our families. And if the conservationists and the power people would work together, we could probably accomplish this. I don't think we're going to convince either side is going to convince the other to change their position tonight. But at least if we can establish a communication, if we could work out a problem or a premise saying, if Rampart is built, what then? Instead of saying, let's oppose it completely. Because these alternate sources of power have been established conclusively to be too high to attract any industry. That's a straw man to say that you're going to have alternate sources of power. And so in conclusion, I want to say this, that the cooperation and the good of Alaska and the good of the nation should be the objective of both sides.
Thank you, Ed. For the Alaska Conservation Society, we now have Terry Brady. Terry?
We are not here tonight to debate ducks versus man or fish versus power, which are the only arguments some persons want to find in the Rampart Dam controversy. Rather, we are here to debate the principle of sound resource management as opposed to speculation and conservation versus destruction. We are here to discuss the Rampart Hydroelectric Project on its merits as compared to less costly and less destructive sources of power. And we are here to show that waterfowl and fish and game, space, clean air, water and forest, like electricity, are natural resources, and that no single resource is so important in the scheme of things that it alone can be the endpoint for man's labor or the answer to his well-being. If hydroelectric power were the only major resource Alaska had to offer, or if electric power could stand alone as the answer to man's needs, then the arguments brought forth by my opponents would be valid. But these hypotheses are not valid, and the reason given by proponents of Rampart Dam are misguided, to say the least. At the worst, they are reflections of a six-year-long propaganda campaign that has been designed to build Rampart now, at any cost, with any consequence. It is a campaign that has smokescreened the real resource values of Alaska, with Rampart backers shouting foul whenever intelligent persons have questioned. A campaign that studiously ignores the people along the Yukon River who will be most affected by the project. And worst of all, has failed to explain the real reasons for Rampart. Some reasons, among others, are a monument to men who feel they will be too soon forgotten without a concrete edifice. Quick dollars for those who could care less what follows in their wake. And worst of all, Rampart as the keystone to a huge river development plan that would flood most of the lowlands of interior Alaska and important areas of northwestern Canada. This map of the Yukon, Kuskokwim, Tanana, Porcupine, and Koyukuk River valleys was made from U.S. Army Corps of Engineer studies. The 10 dams that would create the inland seas pictured here would develop about half of the hydroelectric power potential of Alaska, which Yukon Power for America continually states we must develop, and fast. These dams would flood nearly all of the livable land of interior Alaska. They would destroy many of the waterfowl areas of our state. They would block important fish runs in our major rivers. They would cover virtually all of our interior Alaska's, all of interior Alaska's potentially valuable forests. They would force the majority of our interior native peoples from their ancestral homes. This brings us to ask, who really stands for progress? Those who would ruin and deface that which is Alaska, or those who would intelligently use all of our resources to better our lives without wrecking the base on which this living exists? And we must ask, who is really progressive and who is conservative? Are the progressives those with a dependence on an archaic system of power generation, or those with the knowledge that man has come far enough to have his electricity and his home all at the same time? I believe it is time to stop the propaganda machine that is trying to sell us a bad commodity. I believe it is time for our state and federal governments to stop spending money on Rampart Dam and its counterparts, and instead work at orderly development of Alaska. We can have power. We have many smaller, less destructive hydropower sites. As example, the Devil's Canyon, Watana, and V-Dams on the Susitna River would give us a million badly needed kilowatts at prices comparable to the realistic Rampart figures. These dams have already been approved by government agencies, but the Rampart propaganda machine has ground their progress to a halt. We can use our coal and natural gas for power, and we can have the wonders of the atom. Let us use these sources for our electricity, and let us use the money that would be spent on Rampart to enhance and fully utilize, not destroy, Alaska's natural resources. These resources are precious to us. We need them. If we are to have the jobs, if we are to have the homes for our children, we need all our resources, not one. Again, we can have power and we can have our resources with intelligent management.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Terry Brady. We now move on to the questions. Portion of our program. I have here a series of questions submitted by listeners to the station, submitted by readers of the News Miner. I will address question first to the side to which the questioner wanted to have the question addressed, and after that the opposing side will have an opportunity to answer. I'd like to limit this, if I could, to 1 minute, please. First, to the negative side, will not Rampart Power reduce the cost of electricity to the domestic consumer in Alaskan cities and villages?
Actually, this is one of the real myths of Rampart Dam. And I take my facts from the Rampart Field Studies, which Mr. Murdies may want to disregard, but which are the authoritative reference for the marketing of Rampart Power. In the Rampart Field Studies, they have a table showing the current cost of power in Fairbanks and under GVEA, and the cost after Rampart. For the people who live in the greater Fairbanks area, a saving of 5 mils is the maximum if Rampart Power could be produced for 4 mils. This is a table I'm quoting directly from the Rampart Field Studies. And if you can show me how this man is going to save that much money, if the total electric cost in Fairbanks, in the greater Fairbanks area today, is 1.5 cents, 15 mils, the Rampart Field Studies state that it might get down to 10 mils if Rampart Power is 4 mils. So if it isn't 4 mils, if it's 10.81 mils, you aren't saving a cent.
Thank you, Celia. Would the affirmative side like to answer that question also?
Yes, I'd also like to state that the figures that Ms. Hunter gives you, allegedly in the Rampart Field Studies, of course, are not as simple as that. There are 5 tables in the Rampart Field Studies based upon various premises. Now, one of the tables that she's referring to has a factor of about 3 to 4 mils based upon a $580 million mitigation Fish and Wildlife Service loss, which she refuses to allude to, and which is a premise nobody has agreed to. The fact of the matter is, two substantial corporations have said that this power will be produced between 2 and 4 mils at the buzz bar, wholesale price, and distributed probably at 1 cent at the most. Now, we're here on the question of fact, and I can only say this, ladies and gentlemen, read the reports of Development and Resources and the Reclamation Department reports yourself and arrive at your own conclusions, because I'm sure neither the Corps or the federal government would recommend a project with only, say, 5 mils in a 6 cent kilowatt area.
Thank you.
Yes.
Another question for the negative. Don't you think that spending $1 billion in Alaska will help the economy?
Sure. Spending $1 billion in Alaska would help the Alaskan economy. But for what reason do we think that Uncle Sam has to give us out of hand $1 billion? If Rampart Dam cannot sell all of its power, if it cannot bring industry to Alaska, then we are asking Uncle Sam for a $1 billion handout to support a wobbly economy. And I have the feeling that after the earthquake, then after other disaster areas have come along in the lower states, that the business of just handing Alaska $1 billion to build a dam as a WPA project won't be very popular.
Thank you, Celia. We'll return to the questions in 1 moment. We break now for station identification.
This is KFAR Television, Channel 2, Fairbanks, Alaska. Say, is your family growing? Is your house getting smaller? Are your nerves frayed from being confined in that small home or apartment all winter? Let a quick, low-cost Newsminer classified ad help you find a larger home, or perhaps get rid of some of those no longer used and space-consuming items may be the answer. But whatever your problem, chances are Newsminer classified will help you solve it quickly and easily. Your SOS in the Newsminer classified ad will be heard all over town in just 24 hours. 10,000 families aware of your predicament overnight. 456-6661, the Daily News Miner, and ask for a classified. One of the sympathetic, courteous ad takers will understand and help you. The Daily News Miner at 456-6661. The First National Time. Present First National Temperature. Are you planning on building a new home this spring? If so, see the experienced FHA department at the First National Bank for fast, low-cost construction loans. And there is no bond or surety required in most cases for the owner-builders. No monthly payments while building your home. Low-cost construction loans are easily converted to the 30-year, 5.25% FHA-insured loans. Make your plans now. See First National Bank tomorrow.
I'd like to have the chance for the affirmative to answer the question that Celia just answered before the station break. Don't you think that spending $1 billion in Alaska will help the economy, Tom?
Well, there's no doubt in my mind, and I'm sure there's no doubt in anyone's mind, that spending $1 billion in Alaska is going to help every one of us. I just want to say that in the history of the United States, there has never been a dam in the United States that has not paid for itself with interest, and that this is a loan and not a giveaway program. It will be repaid in a 50-year period, and once the loan is paid off, why, the cost of the electricity can go even down further because of the fact that all you have left are the operating costs. So there it's pretty obvious to me.
Thank you, Tom. We have a question that was just called into the studio addressed to the conservationist. How do you defend your opposition to the dam in view of the overwhelming benefits from other great dams for both wildlife conservation and sporting fish, game, and birds?
I'd like to answer that. Different dams are built in different locations of the world. We can use examples of the Lake Hoover Dam, impounded Lake Mead, the dam at Grand Coulee, that impounded the Columbia River. These dams created water habitats where there were none before, or very sparse. This is different from Rampart, which would impound the Yukon Flats. This is not a small lake, such as, well, now the largest man-made lake is Lake Mead behind Hoover Dam, the lake behind Rampart Dam would be 100 times larger than that. This would flood areas that already has an optimum amount of water, an area that has already got a nice edge effect, an area that can produce untold numbers of fish and wildlife for our benefits, both immediate and future, as recreation, with the proper changing of laws, as even a local food source.
Thank you, Terry. Would the affirmative like to answer that question?
Yeah, that's, again, it shows how the conservationists, these certain ones, are always thinking negatively. Why don't they think positively once? This lake, or behind Rampart Dam, could probably be the greatest source of freshwater fishery in the world. As most of you know, the Canadian Great Slave Lake provides most of the freshwater fish for our eastern markets. I'd like to see that be provided by Alaska. Furthermore, the Washington and Columbia River Valley, the Tennessee Valley Authority, all the areas that had dams have had increases in ducks and so forth. Here we're going to have one of the largest lakes in the United States. It's going to increase the water table. It's going to probably have more ducks than ever. This in view of the fact that you have this lake, but no, they always want to oppose it. They don't have any affirmative, positive suggestions to adjust to it like they've done in other places.
Thank you, Ed. Well, we have a question here for the affirmative side. By a treaty with Canada, the Yukon River is supposed to be left navigable. Have we ever asked how Canada would respond to this project? If so, what was their response?
Well, just recently, last October, I was in Wenatchee, Washington for the Inland Empire Waterways Association annual convention. The Inland Empire Waterways is the motivating force behind all the dams in the Pacific Northwest. And they completed what they call the Columbia River Treaty, which is a treaty
with the country of Canada that they've been striving for many years, where private individuals or a private corporation formed and borrowed $345 million, gave it to the Canadian peoples to develop three other water holding dams in Canada, so that they can now, of course, increase the power of the Grand Coulee. And here, this is just yesterday's paper, and it tells that President Johnson urged $400 million for the Grand Coulee Powerhouse. And this, of course, is the follow-up of that treaty, of the $345 million treaty with Canada. So the United States and Canada are surely working as one. And Ken Holm, who is the Assistant Secretary of the Department of Interior, has said that he feels that all of the North America, from the Yukon to the Rio Grande and from the Colorado to the Potomac, will be connected with one great big intertie. And this is part of the whole plan, which I'm sure that Canada and the United States can work hand in hand.
Thank you, Tom. Would Senator Terry care to answer that same question?
Yes. I don't think that the situation as it has evolved in British Columbia, between Washington and British Columbia over the Columbia River, is quite identical with the situation on the Yukon. And certainly the comments which have come from Arthur Lang, who is the Minister of Natural Resources of Canada, for all of Canada, are not very favorable to Rampart Dam. He has taken the podium several different times to express serious doubt about Canada's position on Rampart Dam. He is very disturbed about the waterfowl situation, and he is also disturbed about the navigation and about the transmission lines through Canada. In fact, one of his recent statements was that he was, at the moment, not very happy about the idea that they might be taking power down to Canada.
Thank you, Senior. I have another question for either you or Kerry. Are nuclear power plants really safe?
Nuclear power plants have reached a stage of development when they are considered very safe under the proper location. The main danger in a nuclear power plant, and of course in many people's minds, is the problem of radioactivity getting out into the coolant water, which flows away from the power plant. This is no longer, and it is no difficulty whatsoever. Down at Fort Greeley, they have a nuclear reactor, and the engineer down there has written a letter to us in which he states quite emphatically that he said the radiation level of water containing radioactive waste is lower than the natural radiation level of Jarvis Creek. So I think that the dangers of nuclear power reactors are much overemphasized. People get them mixed up with nuclear bombs, you know, and they are quite different, and they operate in an entirely different fashion, and they are not apt to go off.
Thank you, Celia. Does the affirmative care to answer that particular question?
It seems again that the Secretary of the Conservation Society is putting herself up to be an expert and up and on and beyond the opinion of Dave Lilienthal, head of the Atomic Energy Commission. Also, now she doesn't chose to quote from the Interior Department report that just come out on page 407, volume 2, which gives the disadvantages of nuclear energy, the public concern of intense radioactive fields, and the disposal problem. Also, she doesn't mention the New York City Consolidated Edison just canceled a billion-dollar nuclear plant they were going to put in and went in for hydroelectric, and so did they cancel one in the San Francisco area. So it appears again that the question of atomic energy has been thoroughly discussed, and actually it has been disregarded at this particular time as being too high and too dangerous, and we have a disposal problem.
I feel myself to be in rather a dangerous position here, sitting between these two sides. Terry Brady has an answer for that.
It's very simple, Ed. I think you were at the meeting the other day when Mr. Cantine of the Bureau of Reclamation reported that the material contained in the Yukon report from the Interior Department, that the material on nuclear power was already outmoded. In 1964, there were several major breakthroughs on power price. I think the people in the New York, New Jersey area have already discovered that. They're building a plant well over a million kilowatts right now.
I would also like to make a comment on that there is a pamphlet out, which I think Ed Murdy should read, called Nuclear Power Economics Analysis and Comments, 1964, in which they declare that everything that was published in the 1962 similar report for the Joint Committee on Atomic Energy of the House and Senate of the United States Congress is now obsolete, and this supersedes it. And I think that it would do them well to read up on the latest in nuclear power.
We have another question here addressed to the conservationist. A listener asks, if Rampart is not built, wouldn't the money already spent on research be wasted?
I think the money spent on research has gone a long way to doing Alaska a lot of good. I read the 998-page report from the Interior Department in quite a while, and it's one of the finest examples of what research money can do. We probably found out more and collected more data on Alaska, Alaska resources, Alaska people in one spot than we've ever done in the history of the state. So the money is not wasted, certainly.
Ed, have you got an answer for that question?
I think we agree with him this time. I think the money was well spent, and of course it substantiates it's been a lot of time and effort put into this project and a lot of thought, and how they can say we're trying to bulldoze them. There's a lot of facts before them, and if you read that Interior Department report, by and large, it's pretty favorable. So I think we finally agree on something this evening.
Well, I'm very happy to find that you agree on one point, even if it is only one point. I have another question here. I'll address it to the COSAG. What would be the recreational potential of the Rampart Reservoir?
Well, in the studies that have been conducted, they say that the Rampart Lake will raise the temperature within a 50-mile area around the whole rim of the lake. And with that raise in temperature, that a new type of tree will be able to grow. In other words, the area will become more lush than ever. And with this greater forestry area, in an area that does not have really too much in the line of forest, it will produce, of course, very much more game. The same thing happened in the Wenatchee area. When we were out there in the crop rotations, they have areas that are being irrigated now, and we saw corn that was 9 foot tall. They talk about as high as an elephant's eye. Well, really, I went out there and I couldn't reach the top of this corn. As we were driving and observing the effects of what water and power can do, well, we saw more pheasant in one afternoon than I've seen in my lifetime. And I was born in Minnesota, where a lot of pheasant are in the areas. So when a person gets the picture from a total concept, why everything that we have seen so far about the Rampart just confirms the conviction that all of us on YPA have, is that the situation is gold, where a lot of pheasant are in the areas. So when a person gets the picture from a total concept, why everything that we have seen so far about the Rampart just confirms the conviction that all of us on YPA have, is that the situation is gold.
Thank you, Tony. Terry also has an answer to this particular question.
Okay. I would like to know from Mr. Posbon or anybody else what Rampart Lake, or whatever you want to call this lake behind this dam be called, an offer that the land does not offer now. It could offer boating, certainly in some sheltered coves down the lower end. You certainly couldn't use small boats as you can today out on this huge inland sea.